Blog Talk Radio.
Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
And welcome to Don't Give Up Radio Show. I'm so happy to be back with you another week. That means that you have fought through, you have endured. Whether you've done that with a smile on your face or just trying to hold back a grimace, you are still here and you are still standing, and that means that you have been victorious. And I just wanted to bring to you another show this week that will uplift you and encourage you and let you know that whatever you might be facing, whatever challenges that are coming your way, they're really designed to propel you towards your dream if you just don't give up. Today we have Tamika Isaac Devine with us. She is speaker and best-selling author of Born Into Heaven, Lessons of Love, Faith, and Reclaiming Your Joy. And her titles hold many more than that, but we're just going to start with that right now. As the show develops, you'll hear and find out much, much more about her. But what you need to know right now is that her passion is to work with women and mothers to empower them to discover their leadership possibility, maximize their potential, and live a life that leaves a legacy. That's so important and so powerful. So welcome, Tamika. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jackie. Thank you for having me. It is truly an honor and a blessing to be with you this evening.
Well, I'm excited. And I love that word legacy, too. So we're going to come back to that and explore that a little more. But among your various titles and stations in life, I know one of the greatest accomplishments that you would consider is that you are a wife and a mother. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your family and about the joy that you experience as a wife and a mother in your home?
Okay, well, yes, I am married to my very best friend, Jamie, who is next Tuesday, we'll be celebrating 13 years of marriage, and we are the parents of three beautiful children. We have two little girls, Tamia and Jade, and then we have a son, James Henry, which we'll talk about. And then I am now expecting again due in February. So we are really, really excited how God has blessed us. And like I say, I'm married to my best friend, and our children are our life. And we work hard in the community. We work hard in our businesses, but we know that being parents is truly a blessing, and we work hard to make sure that we have a life for our kids that will really inspire them and raise them to be great children of God.
That's wonderful. I had no idea that you were expecting again. That's fabulous. Fabulous. I'm very, very happy for you, and I can hear the love. And you mentioned your son, and I have to say that, you know, one of the women that I think we both know, her name is Celia. She wrote a wonderful book about Christmas around this time, about the fact that not everyone is so jolly, right? It's not necessarily a jolly time for everyone because of various reasons. And sometimes it's really just because of life setbacks and the many different struggles and hurdles and storms that we face. And, what happens is instead of you start to focus on the wrong thing, especially if we have experienced tragedy. And I know from experience that you have. So your family actually had to deal with the loss of a child in 2014. Talk to us about that situation.
Okay. Well, yeah. James Henry, we call our we are real, all of our children are a blessing, but our surprise blessing baby, I was actually 41 years old at the time, and in my mind had my children, and although we were really happy with two girls, we did want a boy, and we were surprised to learn I was pregnant, and we're expecting a baby boy, and we're really, really excited. And I was 37 and a half weeks pregnant when I went in for a routine ultrasound, and the doctors told me as they were doing the ultrasound that they could not find a heartbeat on our baby. And as you could imagine, that devastating news really took me into a shock. Could not understand that. Lots of times, you know, people hear about people losing pregnancies, but usually not so far along in a pregnancy. And we went into the hospital to induce and found out that James Henry had a knot in his umbilical cord, which it basically cut off his nutrition and his connection to me. And so he was stillborn at 37 and half weeks pregnant. And, you know, we say he is our angel baby. He was born into heaven. That's the title of our book. And so, you know, the last 2 years have been a lot of dealing with, you know, kind of the whys and the what ifs, but we really truly know that, you know, God blesses us, and even through our storms and hard times, there are lessons that we learn through that, and we kept trying, and found out earlier this year we were pregnant, and we're due with another son in February, so now we say we have four children, two little girls and a little boy here on Earth. And we have an angel baby in heaven.
Wow, that's precious. The way you said it is extremely precious. My heart is warmed by it. And I am sure that there are many who are listening who can relate to the loss of a child, whether in the womb or there's a number of parents that I know right now who have their infants in NICU because they were born early and they're only weighing a pound, and they're praying that they would start breathing on their own and that they would, you know, develop and move forward. And yet I've heard so many success stories as well. I had a young man on the show who was born 1 pound, and now he's a fantastic young man doing many different things. And so God's hand move differently in different lives, and there are different lessons to be learned. And you and your husband, you know, you wrote this book, which happens to be an Amazon bestseller, so that says something right there in terms of people needing to learn how to reclaim joy, and especially after dealing with loss. And the name of the book, once again, is Born Into Heaven, Lessons of Love, Faith, and Reclaiming Your Joy, which is something that is difficult in this situation and difficult if you've had any type of hit. Give us a little idea about what, on a personal level, had made you and your husband say, you know what, let's write about this journey and what we've learned from it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what really got us is we are both very public figures in our local community. We're here in Columbia, South Carolina. I'm actually a member of Columbia City Council. My husband is a member of the Richland School Board, which is the largest school district here. And so we're both really, really public people. And people were really, really praying for us. I mean, it's hard to go through any kind of struggle, any kind of loss, but if you can imagine going through that in the public eye. But one of the blessings out of that is that there were so many people who we didn't even know, but knew of us and knew of our story, who were praying for us. And it got to the point where people were reaching out to us and sharing their stories, and that they had losses that they had never talked about or they really hadn't truly dealt with. And then I would hear people say stuff like, you know, how could God let this happen to you guys, or how could he ever let this happen to anybody? And I know that when people go through struggles, you know, sometimes people get angry at God and they question. And, you know, quite honestly for us, I mean, we never were mad at God. You know, we did have questions. We did want to know why and how this could happen. But, you know, we never lost faith. And not only did we not lose faith, but it brought us together closer as a couple, which I couldn't even imagine because, like I said, Jamie is my best friend, and we were very close, but this brought us closer, and it really strengthened our faith, and it really solidified where we felt like God was leading us. And so in that discussion, we really thought that, you know, maybe part of our journey was to share this experience with other people and how, you know, how God was so good to us through this and how we were able to really, really, you know, strengthen our faith and how we were able to, you know, smile again. And I remember being out and someone saying, wow, you know, I haven't seen you smile and I finally see your smile back. And so, you know, I just really felt like if, you know, people were watching, and I didn't even know sometimes how much people were watching, and people were encouraged by our faith. And so if we could share that with other folks, that was part of the reason why we had to go through this. So we wrote the book.
Well, I am very thankful that you did. And as our listeners can hear, we've just started to scratch the surface of the amount of wisdom that Tamika has to share because of her life experience, her various life experiences. They all make up who she is as a woman, as a leader. And because of that, she's able to help other women find their voice and find their way to leadership, help other people find their way through the pain into joy again. But she wouldn't have been able to do this unless she was able to allow the pain that she was feeling or going through to pass. And no matter what you're facing right now, no matter how hard it is, we want to encourage you right now to know that this too shall pass. And when we return, we'll talk a little bit more about what happens in the process.
Feel your pain, his heart and yours.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Welcome back to the show, and we've been having a nice time, a soothing time, an encouraging time, speaking with Tamika Isaac Divine, who is speaker and best-selling author of Born into Heaven, which was written out of an experience of loss that she and her husband experienced when they lost their son. And, you know, I'm listening to the song by Yolanda Adams and listening to the things that you were saying, Tamika. And, you know, our fears can often get in the way and keep us from moving forward in trying times when things seem so hard to endure. But if you focus to the sky, where your help, where your strength comes from, and when I say the sky, I don't mean the clouds. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I often say on this show, Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And if you have that relationship with the Lord, his arms will comfort you through any storm, through any dark period of your life, no matter how grueling it may be. And, you know, Tamika, reclaiming your joy is something that is very difficult for many people. In fact, you know, some people might not even have a connection to the word joy or feel like it's something that they ever truly experience. And this situation could have been a give-up moment for you and your husband. You could have decided to become fearful or go into a hole or stop being excellent. But instead, you pushed through. And one, I wanted you to take the time to talk with the audience about the source of your strength, the source of the strength that you have and your husband have, and how you really tapped into that source to get you through.
Yeah, well, definitely our strength comes from the Lord. You know, Jamie and I both grew up in Christian families, but, you know, as anybody knows, it's like you grow up going to church and you grow up knowing the Lord, but you have to know the Lord for yourself. You can't just go on what, you know, how you were raised. Of course, that foundation is key and essential to keep you connected, but you have to develop your own relationship with the Lord and understand, you know, that as our Father, he you know, would never want to hurt us. But there are things that happen, and there are things in this world, whether it's, you know, done by man or just happens, and he allows those things to happen to us. But even through those things, he's with us, and through those things, he's teaching us, and he's carrying us, you know, to where, you know, where we need to be. And so that's, you know, that's kind of the foundation that we had, that this was built on. But, you know, even through that, going through losing a child, you go through asking why, you know, why could this allow, how could this happen, why God could allow this to happen to us. And, you know, and even, you know, for us, we were like, you know, God, we're good Christians, you know, if there's such a thing, you know, but we go through, you know, we go to church every Sunday, we tithe, you know, we're raising our girls to be, you know, good people. And, you know, how could this happen? And I think, like I said before, I think part of it, you know, when I look back on the experience and certain things, I have so many people who have said, you know, they have been drawn closer to the Lord because they've seen our faith and they've seen what we've gone through and how it has strengthened us. And so, you know, I truly know that, you know, everything happens for a reason, and through whatever you go through, you know, the Lord strengthens you and he helps you through those things. And there's a saying that I actually quoted in the book that it's by an unknown author that says, you know, when the Lord takes you to the edge of a cliff, he will do one of two things. He will either catch you when you fall or teach you how to fly. And I really, truly believe that, because I feel like through this experience, we were taught how to fly. I mean, you know, we were given a lot of insight into why and how things happen. And through our loss, we've actually founded a foundation that helps other parents going through the loss of a child during childbirth or in the womb. We have, you know, been speaking. You know, I've been speaking for years, but my husband's been speaking as well. So we speak at conferences and share our story with other people throughout this nation, and it really helps them. So I think really through that, you know, it really truly is our strength has come from the Lord, and He's taught us how to fly, and He's used this experience to really help us. And now, as we start this new journey of having a rainbow baby, you know, that rainbow that comes after the storm, you know, our new baby that we're expecting in February, you know, I've had lots of people reach out to us there, like, wow, how strong you are to go through this. And, you know, and so again, our journey's not over. We're still going through this. And other people are touched and blessed by what we're going through. And so that's where we get our strength from.
Absolutely awesome. I'm thinking about the book, and I don't know, you know, that Reclaiming Your Joy piece really stood out to me. And I wanted to know if you could share with us, you know, just one quick tip to a listener from the book in terms of how someone can go about reclaiming their joy.
Well, one of the things that we share, and the way the book is written, it's actually it's a little bit different. We have three parts. We have the part that's written by my husband, and that's the experience through a father's experience. You know, fathers grieve differently, and, you know, men grieve differently, and so it's his experience. And then the second part is my experience, and it's the story through my eyes and what I wanted to share. And then the third part we co-wrote, and those are the lessons that we learned about ourselves and our marriage and our faith, and then how we reclaimed our joy. And so one tip I would share that we share in the book about reclaiming your joy is understand that you're not alone, and no matter what you're going through, someone else has been through there, and it is okay to reach on and rely on other folks for help, whether it is someone else who's been through a situation that you've been through, a friend that you can confide in, a counselor. You know, especially in our African-American community, we're so averse sometimes to seeking professional help. Jamie and I went to a counselor for several months as we were going through this, and we purposely sought out a Christian counselor so that we had someone who understood our faith and our beliefs. But we went to a counselor. And so, you know, whatever, however you can get that help, realize that you are not alone and that you shouldn't be alone as you're going through something, because having the strength and the faith and the prayers and the support of other people will help you a lot as you're going through what you're getting through, and it will help you reclaim your joy because it will help you get to the other side of that.
That is a great point that you brought out, actually two strong points. One, I love the fact that your husband gave voice, because oftentimes we don't hear the man's side, and we don't hear what they're feeling, what they're thinking, and I think that will be very powerful for a lot of men, because this situation brought the two of you together, but there are times, because of how men express or don't emote or do emote, that it might actually cause the two to drift apart. So it's great to have that there, and the piece that you're saying about a counselor to manage the grief and to think it through properly to help you get through the other side is also a crucial piece that I think many people just sweep under the rug and think, I'll get over it, not realizing it's hovering under there, and it can slip out at any minute and just completely trip you up. So I think that's great that you guys have that in there. You know, I'm listening to you, and I hear so much warmth and compassion, and so it leads me to believe that you both are the type of parents that tell your children that they can be all they can be, they can reach for the stars, and I just want to know, what was that the case when you were growing up? Did you have that type of support in your home as a child in terms of your dreams and your goals and when you wanted to achieve things?
Oh, yes, I definitely did. I mean, I have to say I was the best parents you could ever ask for, and my family was always very, very close-knit. And so my parents always told me that I could do anything, be anything I wanted to be. And so it's interesting because I really never really had a thought that I couldn't do something. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, that is very good. Sometimes that may not be as good, but I wouldn't change it for the world. And so I had parents who really instilled in me that, that, you know, I was beautiful, that I was smart, I was intelligent, and I could do anything that I wanted to do. And we do the same for our children. And I see their personalities as they develop, how much that helps them as they go out and try to do things in the world.
Well, you know, that's fabulous, and not all of us have that story. So it's great to hear that that was a motivation for you. The thing that I find very interesting is that when we're built up like that in the home, there are times when we go out into the world, though, and the world doesn't receive us with that same vigor and excitement that our parents led us to believe in terms of being all that we can be. There's these roadblocks and hindrances in the way. And I know that at the age of 29, you literally made history as the first African-American female elected to your city council. And, you know, it baffles my mind that in this day and age, we're still dealing with the first African-American or the first African-American female or the first female. But that was the experience for you. And while that is a wonderful legacy, you did have opposition that you faced as you were seeking to achieve that goal. Can you take us into that and explain to us, as you were setting out with this as your agenda, you know, what were some of the opposition? What were some of the naysayers saying to you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, I was 29 years old, and I was not really politically inclined, I would say. I was always, you know, my parents were very involved in the community. I was very involved in the community. At that time, I had graduated law school and was working in my first legal job, and just saw some things in the community that I needed change, and I wanted to get involved in affecting that change. And so I really looked at how do you affect the change. And so I looked at our city council, and at the time I didn't feel like there was anybody on city council that was really representative of me and my views. The youngest person at the time was 50 years old. Now that I'm getting closer to 50, I don't think that's that old. But back then I thought it was really old. And there weren't any African-American females. And I really just felt like, okay, you know, instead of sitting back and complaining about, you know, government should do this and that, you know, these people should do that, I felt like I had something to offer. And so, you know, I prayed about it. I talked to my parents. And, yes, like I said, they were always very supportive. And they were like, if this is what you want to do, we will help you. We don't know anything about politics either, but we'll find people to help you, and we're behind you 100%. And so I did. I ran out in the world like, oh, yeah, I'm going to run for city council. And the first, you know, couple weeks, everything I got was, oh, my gosh, really? You think you can do that? And I challenged an incumbent. So it was a very well-known person who was in that city council seat, well-funded, politically connected. And so I had a lot of people trying to talk me out of running. I had a lot of people telling me I wouldn't be successful. Then when that didn't scare me out of the race, then I had, you know, the negative politics, you know, the negative campaigning and people trying to malign, you know, my character or really say that I was, because I was so young and inexperienced, I didn't know what I was doing. And so I had all that coming at me. And so it's funny because you do have parents who are like, you can do anything you want to, and then you see all this negativity. But I will say, because I still had that very strong foundation, I had my faith, I had my parents and my close-knit friends and family who believed in me, I knew that I could, you know, get out there. And honestly, for me, I felt like if I wasn't successful that first time, I had faith that I was going to win. But, you know, if I wasn't, then I knew that was still all part of God's plan. It was still going to be a very valuable experience to help shape who I was to be, and I was still going to be very active in the community. So I ran that first time, and I won that first election by less than 200 votes. And as you indicated, I made history with that election. And now I've been serving for 15 years, and I really, really still believe that I'm making a difference in the community. So I know that this is all, you know, part of, again, the journey that God had for me.
Awesome. You definitely are. And I love your story, because oftentimes I have a lot of people on the show who started out with, you know, very little in their home upbringing or a lot of negativity there. And it's good to hear that, listen, no matter where you start in life what challenges you face, whether they're at the beginning or at the end, the same objectives hold true, is that ultimately you have to step out on faith. You have to believe in the gifts and the talents that you were given, and you have to go forward. Even if you feel afraid, you do it afraid anyway, and you just watch the Lord move. And I love your don't give up attitude, that even if you didn't get it this time around, you were like not going to be thwarted, and you're going to just keep pushing until you got through, but the Lord opened the door and allowed you to be able to sit in this space. Take a moment and speak to someone who's listening right now who wants to change the world. They have this, you know, great, lofty goal, but they're naysayers in their life. Speak to their possibilities in terms of how they can move forward.
Well, what I would say is that, first of all, if God has placed it in your heart as something that you want to do, there's a reason that that seed was planted in you. And, you know, there are always going to be naysayers. There are always going to be doubters. Even some of the negative people, they may not be meaning to be, you know, naysayers or to try and really put your light out. But sometimes people, because they love us and they feel like they're protecting us, will come at us with negativity. And so you've got to have all that in perspective. And what I would say is that, you know, the only person who can limit you is you. And that if God has placed it in your heart to do something, then you as one person can make a difference. And I tell people all the time, whether it is getting involved in your local school district, volunteering in the lives to affect the lives of children, whether it is having something that you're very passionate about, an issue such as, you know, pregnancy and infant loss prevention or domestic violence or gun violence or whatever it is, you know, you as one person can make a difference. And what you do is you start by one act. You start by, you know, getting involved, volunteering, lending your voice to a cause. And then as you do that, you will see other opportunities to get more involved and get out there. And then as you get out there, you will start getting more and more experience, and you'll get more and positivity behind you to move towards that goal. And again, knowing that there will be some negativity out there. There will be even the little me in your own ear who might be telling you, who am I to really make a difference? I'm just, you know, I'm just this or I'm just that. You are, you know, someone that God has planted a seed in, and that's all you need to get started. And so I would just say, with all of that in your mind, know that if you truly have something in your heart that is something you want to do that will make a difference, you just got to take that first step.
I love that. And if I could even add to it, I would say, just by listening to you and your story thus far, is that it's clear that you and your husband have been able to let go. You have not held on to the things that await, that could keep you back from moving forward and reaching those goals and reaching those dreams. And when we come back, we're going to talk about where you are today and the wonderful possibilities that you offer to others who want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
And we're back, and this is one of my favorite segments of the show because we get to hear where our guests are today. That despite whatever encumbrances they have faced, and they pushed through, and they held on to God's unchanging hand, we can see his faithfulness. And so you are the co-founder of the Possibilities Institute. I love that, the Possibilities Institute, where you specifically work with women. So talk to us about what the focus is of this institute. Why did you start it, and what is it that you're trying to impart to women?
Okay. Well, I founded the Possibilities Institute actually in late 2014, I had the idea of it, honestly, before the loss of James Henry, and I had been doing a lot of public speaking, and after the loss of James Henry, I really, again, was looking for kind of where God was leading me and what I needed to do. And so as so many people were reaching out to me, not just about how I dealt with my loss, but just how I do things in the community, how do I be active as a councilwoman and still, you know, find time to, you know, really be there for my children. How to me and my husband, both very active in the community, still give so much publicly, but, you know, have a very good, strong marriage and, you know, just things of that nature. People were just coming to me. And so as I was talking to women and mentoring and coaching women through some of those things, I really God laid on my heart that I could do that on a more formalized basis. And so I founded the Possibilities Institute, and yes, I work specifically with women. And my mission is easy. It's really, number one, to help women discover their leadership possibility, maximize their potential, and live a life that leaves a legacy. And what I find as I work with women is so many of us, we have leadership. I mean, we're born leaders. But so many of us are so used to giving to other people and sometimes so used to taking the back seat to other people who are out there that we don't realize the leadership possibility that we have in us and that we really can take that leadership possibility to not just impact our lives, our personal lives with our families, but impact the bigger community as well. And so, you know, through the Possibilities Institute, I work with women through my coaching. I also do a lot of public speaking and mentoring, and I help women really figure out what is it that you want to do. And so often we know what we want to do, but we don't exactly know how to get there. And so I work with them on success strategies and how to get there, and really not just how to get there, but then to then translate that into a bigger legacy within our community.
Absolutely. You know, I absolutely believe that a lot of us know, it's almost instinctive from the time we're little children, but if it wasn't nurtured or if it was quenched somewhere along the way, you know, we stuff it down and we try to convince ourselves that we can do something else or settle for. God has called us to that specific thing, because that is exactly where we're going to be able to lift up our community, lift up our families, make change, and to be effective in being a world changer. And that sounds like such a big statement, but all it takes is you being the God-given person that He has created you to be, to exist in that space, and you will be a part of the wheel of change that happens, that's needed to happen. So I'm thankful that you're doing this work. I want to shift a little bit onto the women themselves, because I noticed that some of the causes that you champion, you know, surround issues of poverty and domestic violence. And I've got to say that, you know, I lost my best friend over 30 years ago to domestic violence. Within the past couple of months, I've heard about at least three scenarios with, you know, young girls losing their lives to domestic violence issues. And it seems like even with all of our campaigns and special days and education, that this is still a prevalent issue, that things don't seem to be changing so much. Do you find that these are key issues that are keeping women from moving forward?
Well, I find that, particularly for me, these are issues that I'm passionate about, because as I work in the community, these are ones that personally I'm connected with. I used to be a domestic violence prosecutor. That was my first job out of law school. And so I saw so many women who either couldn't leave relationships, or when they left relationships, they were killed or assaulted, or the system itself broke them down so that they really couldn't be successful. And then poverty is something that I see every day in my community. And as people, you know, try to make ends meet, especially women, as we try and raise our families and really be involved in the community, sometimes, you know, financially we're not able to do that. And so those are issues that I find, you know, I personally felt the connection to, and I felt like I could really lend my voice to because of the position that I hold here locally and some of the work that I also do nationally. But, yes, I do think that it's no coincidence that those are ones that I'm tied to, and those are two issues that I think go to how women feel empowered or sometimes feel disempowered. I mean, you know, if you're struggling from paycheck to paycheck, if you're struggling trying to, you know, feed your children, if you're struggling trying to, you know, keep a roof over their head, or if you're struggling, you know, with a domestic violence situation and you don't know where you're going to be able to turn, then, you know, that goes a long way to women feeling that they're not empowered to make change. They're not empowered to take control over their own lives and to be successful at whatever they want to do. So I do find that there is that connection. But the reason I went after those is because I have that personal connection and I'm passionate about it. And so what I would definitely say to any of your listeners is that we all have issues that we're passionate about, whether we might have, you know, a personal experience with that, or it's something that we see that we're just drawn to. But I think that if you're passionate about those issues, those are definitely the issues where you can make a difference in the community, because of the passion that you have around those issues will allow you and drive you to really work hard to bring about the change.
You know, and it ties into this word legacy that we brought up at the beginning of the show. And I think as a society, when we think of legacy, we get very iconic. And we think of, you know, Martin Luther King or these great big grandiose names. But each of us will leave a legacy no matter what. And I wanted you to kind of break down the word a little bit for us, because we hear it and we have all these emotional ties to the word legacy, but I'm not sure that we really have a proper definition of it. So can you take a moment and really explain the impact and the power of what a legacy is and why leaving one is so important?
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely. And, you know, when I talk about legacy specifically with the Possibilities Institute and the way I talk to the women I work with about the kind of legacy they want to leave, it is when you are no longer here, what do you want people to remember about you? What do you want people to feel like you've done that has impacted people's lives? And I think it's important that we all see that, yeah, a legacy, it doesn't mean that you have to have a title. It doesn't mean you have to have a name or be famous or, you know, be taking on a huge, you know, cause like civil rights to leave a legacy. But a legacy can be just, you know, what are you doing to empower other people? What are you doing to raise good children that will be productive members of our society? And so those are the kind of things that when I talk with my clients about leaving a legacy, you know, what do you want to be known for? And I'll share that. I have a friend that passed away earlier this year, and she worked for many, many years in the field of affordable housing. And she worked for someone. She didn't have her own business. She was real low key on a lot of the work she did. But I will tell you that now that she's gone, and when I'm in areas where people are talking about working with people who are homeless or people who are living in poverty, or, you know, people, families who are just really trying to make it to the next level, and they talk about affordable housing, her name comes up. And so her legacy is what she did in the community to make sure that people understood the need for affordable housing, and that, you know, affordable housing was developed in the community. And so she's not somebody that was famous. It's not somebody I think a lot of people would feel like, you know, or I think she would have ever felt like she was leaving a legacy. But now that she's gone, people, no one talks about affordable housing within our community where her name doesn't come up. And so those are the types of things they want. And especially if you're a mom, You know, I think about my children, and I'm very active in the community, but anybody who knows me will tell you that first is my kids. And my kids, I'm teaching them about giving back into the community. And so my legacy is going to definitely be, you know, what I instill in my children.
That is how it should be. It starts at home. It starts with yourself. It then starts then at home and with your family. And then you can outreach and stretch out further. And, you know, when I hear the word legacy, I think of the word legend. And I was reminded that a legend is actually also a key on a map. And if you study and follow that legend well, that key well, it will help you to navigate where you're designing to go and help you get there because someone else already forged the way and created this map with an excellent key for you to follow. And a lot of us are looking for wisdom keys of life and how-to keys of life. And so there are many people around us who will be leaving excellent legacies for us to follow, and we want to in turn make sure that we are leaving an excellent legacy. So I'm so thankful that you've been able to share these wonderful nuggets with us tonight. Why don't you tell the people where they can connect with you, find out more about what you're doing, get their hands on your book?
Okay, well, definitely. Well, people can go to my website, which is www.possibilitiesinstitute.com. And I know that's long, but Possibilities Institute, P-O-S-S-I-B-I-L-I-T-I-E-S, institute.com. And then they can also follow me on social media. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at T.I. Divine. And then I'm also on Facebook at Tamika Isaac Divine. And they can reach out to me in any of those manners, send me an email. I would love to talk to anybody, and specifically, especially women out there who are thinking about, you know, the possibilities and their leadership and legacy potential. If they want to talk to me about how they might get, you know, meet with me in the future to talk about working with me on some things, send me an email through any of those means, and I would love to talk with you. And then you can also get my book on my website, thepossibilitiesinstitute.com.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And for those of you who are listening on Blog Talk Radio, I have all the information posted here. It has been a pleasure talking with you tonight, Tamika Isaac Divine, and getting to learn a little bit more about how we can reclaim joy in our lives. Thank you once again.
Thank you so much, Jackie. This has really been fun.
Oh, great. I'm glad to hear that. For my listeners, I want you to continue and be your very own best hero, because the greatest hero of all said that you were worth it when he gave his life for you on the cross. And no matter what you're facing or going through with him, you can bounce back. Until next time, be blessed.
Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans.